And as time went on, I've found out that the United States had come under the control of some Nazis that they had brought into the country at the end of World War II. I had thought we had won the war, but now I know that that was not true, and that in fact we lost it, and that they just went underground. The U.S. forces brought in thousands of people under an operation called Operation Paperclip, because they want to establish what they have called a New World Order. And this was announced by President Bush Sr. And it sounded like utopia, but it's not. It's just a world government, unelected, and is responsible to no one except the rich elite. And they intend to bring down borders of countries, and worse, more worrisome, they intend to depopulate the earth to a very large extent. So all of this information, I have to try to pass on to people to the maximum extent possible.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have the Honorable Paul Hellyer coming to the program, and he is the highest serving office person in the world to serve office that has come out and talked about UFOs, talked about the cabal, talked about all the things that I talk about, have been talking about. I don't talk about UFOs that much, but I have in the past, but really about this deep state and the cabal and what's behind it. And it's interesting to see how people who have different perspectives on this all come to the same conclusion that we have this deep state cabal that is in the direction of some entities that want to depopulate and take over the earth. It's so crazy, but that is the conclusion that a lot of people are coming to from all different perspectives about this new world order and global government, and then what's behind that. But Paul Hellyer was a defense minister for Canada, and he also served on the Queen's Privy Council, which he says really isn't anything. It's just kind of a membership based on whenever you become a high member in a government, you end up being on this council. But I asked him about it because Wikipedia makes it sound different. But he has a new book out, and it is something that people should read because from his perspective, it's he tries to give people an understanding of what's really going on in the world and how the deep state's connected to all the secret programs, how it's connected to World War II, how the money interests are involved. It's a pretty overarching perspective on what to do, what's going on, and then maybe what to do to reverse it. And he's even talking to members of Congress saying, yeah, these are the things that you need to do as well. I mean, because at this point, we all have a common enemy. We look at it from Republican and Democrat, which is crazy. We need to realize that we have a common enemy. And that if you're not the enemy, then you're on the good side, and you need to unite and fight the enemy and stop thinking it's a Democrat Republican and start thinking it's anti-human against pro-human, and start acting accordingly and fighting accordingly and start getting our country back. That's the situation we're in, and we talk about this in this interview. I want to tell you that I have a lot of different exclusives up on Ebonair right now. I have them with Patrick Byrne. I have a couple with Jesse Zaboder. I have new books, ebooks up there. I have coupons and discounts. So it's my Patreon replacement after Patreon took me down and I lost all my supporters. I'm trying to rebuild that up, but I want to create something even better. I'm working to create something better. But my goal is that people who join, they learn so much. We can work together, but you get more out of it than what you're paying. That's my goal, is because that's how you create value for someone, is you give them more than they are giving. And that's what I hope I can do. But anyways, you can sign up for that at sarahwestall.com under subscribe. You can get to all my platforms. Since I've been erased, I'm on the censorship-free platforms now. I want to remind you, though, that the browsers, I keep getting emails every day that people can't get to my website or view my shows, and it just keeps spinning. You got to know that if that's happening to you, whether it's my site, my website or others, that the browsers are now censoring. They're doing it at the browser level, whether it's Firefox or Chrome or Explorer. Those are the ones that we've found. There's also some internet nodes that are doing that as well, whether it's a server inside an internet company or a satellite or somewhere. They can censor at that level as well. So if you're seeing that, you really need to download the Brave browser. If you're seeing the problems getting to my website or others, even though you're running the Brave browser, then it's probably an internet-level censorship. And the way to get around that is to open a Tor window in your internet browser, in the Brave browser. But you should be able to get to any website you want to with the Brave browser, whether it's just their regular or opening up their secure window. Make sure you do that, because I keep getting emails every day that new people are realizing they can't get to my website. So if you see that, that's what's going on. I am just a canary in the coal mine. I am not going to be the only website that they are going to be censoring. You're going to see it all over the place. And so I would recommend to get the Brave browser before you start having problems getting the Brave browser. Get ready for censorship really coming on board. I know we're seeing it with everybody getting kicked off, but you're going to see it where they're going to try to shut down websites and all sorts. They already shut down mine. They're trying to censor my website. But I'm one of the only ones they did it to so far. So you're going to start seeing it get pretty more expansive and more more people are going to be targeted. I can guarantee that. So just get prepared and get ready for that. So anyways, let's get into this great interview with Honorable Paul Hellyer.
Hello, Paul. Welcome to the program.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I'm honored to have you. I've heard so many good things about you. I have a lot of questions to ask you. You have a new book out, and you've written some pretty controversial books in the past as well. And being the second highest, I believe, in Canadian history to hold office, to ever come out and talk about these things so openly, is actually really great. I think it shows the courage that you have. And so that's why I'm honored to have you on the program, because you are show so much courage by doing that. But your new book, why, and even before we get into the new book, why have you decided that you should break the silence and come out and talk about these issues?
Well, because I'm getting sick of liars, and that applies to the governments of most countries, including our neighbors to the south. And so 15 years ago, when I found out what the truth was about UFOs and so on, I said, I have a public duty to try and let the public know what the truth is, because they have the right to know, and they should know. But, and I've been researching these subjects ever since, for 15 years, and written four books. Started 10 years ago, when I knew very little. You could probably say I was in the second or third grade of the knowledge of that we're talking about today. And then 4 years later, I realized that I had known practically nothing 4 years earlier. So I wrote another book called The Money Mafia, A World in Crisis, and that's become something of a classic. And it really let people know what was going on in the world, and especially in the United States, and how the people there are in peril, not from without, but from within. And then 4 years later, I had some information about how the cosmos was created, and so I wanted to get it out, but I didn't have enough material for a whole book, so I tacked it on to my autobiography, and it made enough material for a book, and it's got some pretty good stuff in it, like if you need to know if you're the least bit spiritual, for example. And then the last one, and the present one, was simply because I was so concerned about the...
Someone's really trying to get hold of you.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that I want to get...
Whatever you want to do, I just want to make sure that you take... Someone's really trying to get hold of you, or you just got a couple calls in a row.
They really are, but I don't know who it is. Well, they can try me again at the end of the hour.
Okay. So the meaning of how the cosmos started, that actually is right up my alley of just my personal interest. What did you learn on that you felt compelled to write a whole book on it?
Well, what I learned was that UFOs were real, that visitors from other star systems were coming to Earth regularly. For example, I found out that in 1962, an armada of 50 people, UFOs had flown south over Europe, and that the commander-in-chief of the Allied forces in Europe was so concerned, he was just about ready to press the panic button and start a war. And then they turned around and went back over the North Pole. And when he realized that they weren't Russian, he said, we'll do an investigation into the subject. So he ordered one to be done. It took 3 years for them to, four species of extraterrestrials had been coming to Earth for thousands of years.
For how many years?
Thousands. And then as time went on, I've found out that the United States had come under the control of some Nazis that they had brought into the country at the end of World War II. I had thought we had won the war, but now I know that that was not true, and that in fact we lost it, and that they just went underground. The U.S. forces brought in thousands of people under an operation called Operation Paperclip. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, yep.
You can Google it, and it's quite accurate, the Google report of Operation Paperclip. They brought in all of these scientists and engineers and others and gave them new CVs and new names, and then appointed them to high jobs in both military and civil. And then not too long after that, they found out that all during the war, the Nazis had been building a base in Antarctica, and that it was a threat. And so they sent an armada to Antarctica. James Forrestal, who was the first Secretary of Defense in the United States, because before that they had been divided into three, like we were years ago. And so he sent an armada with, I forget how many ships, around seven, including a carrier and 5,000 Marines and so on, and under Admiral Boyd. And so he thought it would be just a cinch, you know. He got things that he needed when in South America before going right to the Antarctica. And then when he got there, instead of finding a cinch, one or two flying saucers came out of the ocean. I'm not sure whether they were German or reptilian. It doesn't really matter. But they sank one of his ships, killed some of his men, and he had to go home with his tail between his legs, as they say in the vernacular. He was so mad that he wanted to nuke them. But by then, the Nazis that had been imported had taken control of the United States Armed Forces, or at least a large part of them, and they made sure that nothing happened. Instead, they gave him a parade and an increase in rank, and just had him sit on it because they were in control, and they have been in control ever since. And now they have, notwithstanding what they say or hint, have one of the biggest space armadas that there are. And it is, I have just written in a letter to some of the members of Congress, a threat, because they want to establish what they have called a new world order. And this was announced by President Bush Sr. And it sounded like utopia, but it's not. It's just a world government, unelected, and is responsible to no one except the rich elite. And they intend to bring down borders of countries, and worse and more worrisome, they intend to depopulate the earth to a very large extent. So all of this information, I have to try to pass on to people to the maximum extent possible. It's very difficult.
Yeah,
because the mainline press will not touch it. They're under the control of a part of what I call the cabal, and they one of the people in the cabal is the Bilderbergers, and they either own or control almost the entire English language press, both written and electronic, in the whole Western world.
Yeah, I call it the propaganda press. I don't think they're even, you know, anything. There's no real journalism. It's just propaganda now. And the only journalism you can get is from independent sources such as this kind of channel. But I want to ask you, I want to back up a little bit. When Germany, you said that Germany really won the war. Operation Paperclip, I've read quite a bit, where about half went to Russia and half went to the United States. Now, why did they allow themselves to look to the world like they lost and have the kind of situation in their own country happen, you know, as far as making it look like they lost, and Hitler had to, he probably went to Argentina, I believe. Why did they portray it like that instead of a win? Or was it more of a truce?
It was a strategy. And if you were trying to accomplish what they were trying to accomplish, that's exactly what you would have done. You would have pretended that you lost and kept your mouth shut for 70 years and plus. And then all of a sudden, when you have your huge military apparatus built up again, and this time without any competition anywhere in the world really of significance, that's when you finally will release that information, when you think you're in a position to take over the world and establish what they're thinking to be the Fourth Reich.
And, you know, I've heard this before, and so they're the masters of deception. And I see it everywhere, just in what I do. I mean, this is at a whole nother level. And they said the bigger the lie, the harder it is to believe. But what do you think about the depopulation agenda? How are they going about to take people out? Because you've seen the Georgia Guidestones, where it says 500,000 people they want to bring the population down to, or 500 million people they want to bring the population down to. Do you believe that number is accurate? And how do you think they're going to go about doing that?
Well, first of all, it's just a quote from one man. Secondly, I don't know what the numbers are, and I don't know anybody else that does. It's just that I know that they're sufficiently significant that everyone on Earth who is not a member of the superior race or part of the inside group should be concerned about it. And you just said something, though, that I think is interesting when it comes to masters of deception. Have you been following the landing on Mars of the last two or three days?
The SpaceX?
Yeah.
I have not, but I've read some headlines, but I haven't been following it directly now.
It has been a masterful hoax. It has convinced millions and millions of people that the United States is just exploring over there to see if there was ever life over there. And this at a time when they have had a base over there for I don't know how long, but for many years. And if they had sent a reporter, for example, if anybody had sent a reporter to the Alien Expo exposition in Toronto a couple of years ago, they would have heard a chap by the name of Kramer was in the U.S. Marines, and had served for 17 years on Mars, tell what the plan was. But they didn't bring that information to light because it wasn't the kind of thing that they wanted to bring to light.
What did he say? What did he say the plan was?
Well, he said that there would be an attack within six months to 24 months from when he said it, and it would be a red flag attack. Well, this, I think, is propaganda. I think this is what my friend, all the best-known ufologist, Stephen Greer, has been saying all along, that the number three things that that's interesting, because Carol was, when she was working for Von Braun, was given this information when he was about to die. He said that in order to build up their forces and so on, that they had to have an enemy. And if it said first, it would be the communists, and then it would be
the Chinese, maybe?
No, not specifically a class of
maybe Al-Qaeda.
No.
ISIS.
No. And number three would be, finally, the extraterrestrials. And that's where we are now. And that's what Randy Kramer was talking about. And what he was saying was, is just saying this so that you will, when it happens, you won't be too surprised that we'll have given you a little bit of advance warning. Well, then, in the meantime, they keep on with these deceptions. And NASA in particular, it seems that its principal purpose in life for several decades now has been misinformation. And to fool the people. Because I kept getting reports like, NASA had said that they thought that in about 12 years they would find a planet that would maintain public life. At that time, the United States had a manual to use in the case of crashes for 54 different species.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. So on the one hand, they're not admitting that there are such things, but in reality, this chap that I've interviewed and talked to said that, and who has been retrieving crash vehicles all through his military career, says that the manual that the Army gave me is for 54. The other word just came to me, terrorists.
Oh, the terrorists. Okay. Yep. Well, let me ask you, I interview people from all over the place, and I've interviewed people from the highest level of the cabal, like she calls it the system, the Illuminati. And I've interviewed FBI, X-File, John, his last name escapes me right now. And I've interviewed all sorts of people with UFO backgrounds as well. And there's two camps of people. There are the people that believe that these species come from another dimension. And then there's other people that believe that they come from outer space, or even both, other dimension and outer space. But the people that say that, a couple of the people who are high level, who told me they came from another dimension, they just swear that the outer space is not right, that that's misinformation. And I don't know. I mean, I'm just interviewing people. What is your thought when you hear that?
The answer is all of the above. But the cosmos is teeming with life. And so many kinds that you can't keep up with it. Orbs. I have a friend, an audiologist, for example, who's an excellent photographer, and she sent me a couple of photos the other day that she took, and she didn't realize that there were orbs in the trees. When they were developed, there they were, so she sent them over so I could take a look at. I have a friend in England who would take your picture and then show the little people that are around you. And right now, for example, and this is the only sort of plus thing that I can say, I think the Galaxy of Light, the International Galaxy of Light, has taken an interest in this. And even though for years their policy has been hands-off, because we were given the right of choice. We can do right things or wrong things. We can do good things or bad things. We can help other people, or we can be very self-centered and just say, you know, to hell, they're poor because they don't work hard enough. So we were given these choices and their policy. And interestingly enough, the Galaxy of Light is—they're nearly all species, or I think they are all species that are loyal to the Creator God, the Creator of the cosmos. And so there is and has been, as you would know, a continuing battle between the forces loyal to the Creator and the errant son, Lucifer, who has his own gang, his own bunch of whatever, and they have exerted a lot of influence, especially as in the post-war years and that I have seen, where things have disintegrated terribly. And so whether there's going to be a showdown or not, I don't know, but I know that they're taking an interest. And one of the most current things that I have seen, I have a friend, Dr. Richard Boylan, who has been feeding me a little bit of information. And first of all, he was putting out dribs and drabs from official sources, and thought it was the sort of the beginning of a program of disclosure, and this was kind of fun. And did you see an article in the New York Times a while back where the Navy had discovered some UFOs?
Yeah, the Pentagon and stuff. Yeah, I saw that. I don't know if it's the same one that you're talking to about, but I saw some really soft disclosure. I don't even know if it's real, but yeah.
The interesting thing was it looked real. It was made to look real. But now he finds out it was actually the F-18s chasing their own Tic Tacs, which are highly developed anti-gravity machines. And it looked like that they were chasing UFOs. And then they said they knew they were here, but they didn't know what they wanted. Well, how many lies can you count in that? I mean, the whole thing was a show that you would put on at the theater, and you succeed in fooling the people into thinking that it was the real thing. And that looked like a little bit of disclosure. And then just a few days ago, apparently there was an article in the London England Sun, a major one, where they had got some information from the United States. And it said the Navy admitted, yes, they had some wreckage from the UFOs, and they were looking at the wreckage. Well, they didn't say that they were looking at the wreckage more than 70 years ago.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And working to back engineer and replicate it and improve it for all of that time. So just a little bit of something which was misleading, but gave the impression that maybe a little bit of the truth was sneaking out.
Well, I see misleading things everywhere. Go ahead. I was going to ask you a couple more questions. Go ahead.
You go ahead while I have a sip of water.
Okay. Well, one thing that I've seen is that you brought up the Lucifer and the following God. I like that you brought that up, and that there's this council of light that are taking an interest in us. So one thing I've seen, no matter where people are at, that they acknowledge that there's this good and evil fight, and that the people who are here that have the most power are aligned with this Lucifer, and that they are really it's scary to think that there are beings that are manipulating the people who are running this planet, and that the majority of us want it to change. So now, are the Council of Light coming in to help? Because there are so many humans on this planet that do not want the situation that we're in right now. We do not consent to it.
Well, I can't speak for them, but I'm impressed by the fact that there are so many of them not too far away. And I've seen a picture not too long ago, maybe a month ago, of a whole row of mother ships lined up between here and our sun. And then the latest, most fascinating bit of information that I have at the moment, and it is hot, and I'm telling you it's hot. Dr. Boylan sent me something on Sunday to show where one of the people in the space station had gotten out and was repairing the space station. And one of these mother ships, 9 miles long.
Wow.
Came into view and came up and went right around full circle so that it would be photographed. And then went off. So he took this as sort of the final proof that the government was really starting to come clean with information. And a few minutes after I got his email, I went on the Facebook thing where the pictures were. And there was the space station. There was the guy on the outside. There was the 9 mile long thing coming up from the left-hand side slowly. Then the screen goes black and said, this has been taken off due to copyright. So it was on there for a matter of a few minutes, and then it was off.
Do you happen to have a copy of those pictures?
Oh, no. Nor probably does.
You'd have to take a screenshot right when it came up.
No, I didn't have time.
No, I mean, somebody would have had to do that to have copies of it.
Maybe somebody has, but the officials have, the people who want to run the world. But they obviously still don't want us to know what's going on. And so Richard found this rather disconcerting, because he had thought they were starting to come clean. And he realized that this is the same old cover-up, and that we've still got a long way to go before the truth is going to manage to prevail. So that's where we are, except there are a lot of spaceships out there waiting for something.
Well, it seems that we don't have that much time. Like, they are quickly implementing right now. We have this coronavirus, which they have turned into police, world police state situation for something that is like the flu. And then it, with treatments that are available that would, you know, knock the death rate down to almost nothing. And they're hiding that. And then we have the faked election and this worldwide reset. So it seems that they're implementing very quickly. I mean, the United States has an illegitimate president that we didn't vote for. And anybody who with an, you know, intellectual honesty would agree with that after you look at the data. So now we're sitting there with all of this happening. It seems that these people are, they're marching pretty quickly to whatever they're doing. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's exactly what's happening. And,
I know, but I was hoping you would give me some words of, I don't want that to be true. But anyways, keep going. I have to be wrong. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you see, that's the problem. None of us want it to be true.
I know.
But it is true. And most of us, and this is the difference between the people who are running the cabal. I don't know if you have a list of what it actually is composed of, but it's, I say it's involves the Bavarian Illuminati at the top, and
yep.
And then the three sisters, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Trilateral Commission, and then the people who are in those things include the banking cartel, which is right at the top, and the oil cartel, and the transnational corporations, and then the intelligence organizations. And these have been added since General Eisenhower warned us about the military-industrial state. It wasn't long before it was the military-industrial intelligence state. And so you have the CIA and the FBI and the NSA and the British MI6 and the Israeli Mossad, all part of it, and then a huge chunk of the American military. And it's coming out more and more all the time that the Navy has been the lead in building their space fleet. Some people say that there were two space fleets, and the Air Force has one, and the Navy has one, and the Navy has the big one and the most powerful one. I do not know if that's true or not, but I've heard it.
Well, what is the Trump put forward and made the Space Force? So is that, and all he did is make one, what I've heard is he's just made one legitimate and there's still another one.
Well, I think the idea was to get the two together, but that may not happen. I've gone through this with unifying the armed forces, and they now have six forces, which is probably the most inefficient organization you could have in the history of the world. But they're getting their money from somewhere. My supposition is they're getting it from the Fed.
Yeah, and well, I've been told, I interview Jesse Sobotor, who is being trained to be the top of the Mother of Darkness. The Mothers of Darkness lead the Illuminati, and they speak to this Lucifer character, and then Lucifer also talks to others, but they that's the top of the Illuminati. And she was trained to be that and broke out. When there's a whole backstory to her, and I've learned a lot. And it's pretty scary what they have planned. I actually find hope in the fact that there's a light council. I feel crazy even talking about this. You know, if I looked at myself 15 years ago talking like this, I would have thought I was crazy. Now I'm, I think it's all true. So, you know, it just is, I can't believe we're in this, having this conversation. But what I was going to say is that I feel good to know that there's this light council out there. Do you know anybody who's in communication with them?
Oh, a lot of people are.
And what are we hearing from them?
Well, Richard Boylan, for example, hears from them. And I know lots of channelers will get information from some one of the species. I have had contact with one species called the Picetas, which most people have never heard of, and I don't know where they come from. So there's a lot going on, and there are a lot of the ones from our galaxy who look like us, who are wandering around with us that we wouldn't recognize.
Do they know that they're an alien species to this planet, or do they? Because I've been told that some of them don't even know. They've been crossbred.
Well, I won't answer that question. I have one of the people that writes me every day. It claims to be from the Pleiades, and is a commander of one of them, or was a commander of one of their fleets, and so that's sort of one. She chose to be born in human form, having been one of the others, and I don't know exactly how that works, because there's a difference in the vibration level between ourselves and most of them. They're higher level of vibration than we are, so we're at the third dimension, which is the bottom of the heap. And we've been denied being taken in by the Galaxy of Light over the years, because we're so prone to start wars and do all of these things, and not spiritually sufficiently developed to qualify. But then on the bright side, and there's a lot of bright side, you've got people working now toward our ascension from the third to the fourth or fifth level. And that this is going to happen eventually, when, I don't know, but probably maybe sooner than we think, and that we then will change, and we'll give up our warlike ways and start acting like, I was going to say humans, but that's the problem, isn't it?
Well, I've been told that there's a portion of humans that just can't evolve and can't get there. And then there's a portion that are. And so there's a split that's going to happen, or that's already happened. But then there's also the Lucifer character and their manipulation are also tied to the people that can't ascend, because they're at even a lower frequency.
Well, I can't rule on these things, and I don't understand them enough, but I think some of our brain is reptilian, and that's the brain that says, you know, if you hit me, I'm going to clobber you. That's the natural reaction of that kind of brain. But you have the control if you want to use it. I have been. You know, things have happened to me so often that if I didn't forgive immediately, I would have been dead long ago.
Yeah.
I just, somebody was doing an article for our little paper here in the condo this week, and I used to have so many knives in my back that I would be curious as to know whose they were.
I'm sure that's true. You were the defense minister, so you actually took three different, what do you call them, parts of the military and put them together as one. When you did that, did you learn some of this stuff? Is that the base for when you learned it, or did you learn it later?
No, actually, that's something that I felt was right in principle. From some of the things I'd learned, I was first in the Air Force and then in the Army, and they weren't working together as a team. They were working as three different horses going in different directions. And during the war, for example, the Air Force moved its headquarters in Paris from one place to another to get away from the army. And the Air Force actually strafed Canadian soldiers on the road to Falaise because their radios were not compatible. So I said, this is nonsense. And I lived a lot of it. I knew it. Just for example, when I joined the Army after having been in the Air Force, and they said, okay, you've got to learn to march. I said, well, I just learned to marching, and I think, what do they call it, something bashing. And then they said, you have to have gas masks. And I said, well, I just did gastrol. He said, oh, yes, but that was Air Force gastrol.
Oh, I'm sure, yep.
And this guy in a white outfit comes along and says, roll up your sleeve, takes out his friends, and says, starts to give me shots. And I said, I just had the shots. He says, ah, yes, but those were Air Force shots.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And it was that kind of atmosphere. And so, there were around 300 committees in the armed forces. They could spend two years trying to get a reconciliation of some of these differences. And then all one of the chiefs had to say is, no, we won't go along. And the whole thing just... So I said, I put an end to that. And for 8 years, we had the most efficient armed forces in the world. But then people started coming along and taking it apart piece by piece. A lot of it for political purposes, because a lot of them lived where there were a lot of admirals. And I can understand the importance of tradition, because I know it is important. But tradition doesn't matter much if you're in a trench or if you're in a dogfight or whatever you're doing. It's being equipped to do the job efficiently in order to get it done and to save lives while you're doing it. And so that was the whole thing. And I could give you an example of the difference. The Suez Crisis, for example.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Prime Minister said, he would like us to send the aircraft carrier to join the force. And so they called a meeting, and a army general was in charge, and he asked the Air Force, for the Navy rather, was represented by a captain, about the carrier, and he said, well, I don't know, sir, but I think she's in Bermuda, and well, how soon should she get here? Could she get here? And he says, I don't know, sir. I'd have to discuss it with the chief of the naval staff. And this went on 8 hours, and there was no decision taken. And the carrier never did get where it was supposed to go. After the unification of the forces, they would there were two operations of peacekeeping, and it was the atmosphere. Someone was put in charge, and they were in charge, so they didn't have to say, you know, may I have. They would say, where's the nearest Hercules? And somebody would say, well, it's in Cold Lake or whatever. Where's the nearest battalion of troops ready? Well, it's the Royal 22nd. And okay, and then it was, well, get them to here and rendezvous as fast as you can do it. And it was on. And one of those meetings lasted 21 minutes and 127 minutes. And that was the difference. Well, then the United States, now you've got 8 different things. And if it is true that they had dual space programs, it would be one of the biggest wastes of money in the history of the world.
Well, I think they have wasting money as their specialty. Well, one other thing that you're part of the Queen's Privy Council, and it's a lifetime appointment. when were you appointed to that, and do you still are you still active in it?
Well, let me explain. The way it works now is you have to be a privy counselor to be a federal cabinet minister.
Okay.
So that's when you're sworn in, you take the oath. You are then a privy counselor for life, provided you don't do something awful. And I think during my lifetime, there's only been one person who's had that taken away from them for doing, I can't remember what it was. Wouldn't try to say if I did remember. And so it's something you take your to your deathbed with you. It has virtually no meaning, except if you're a lawyer, you can do the bar exam anywhere in the British Commonwealth for $5, I think, something like that. And if you're not a lawyer like me, it's no use. And they fly the flag on the Parliament Hill at half mast. So I used to say as I walked up there in the morning, well, I'm still alive because of the flag's still flying. And so that's about all it's worth. There's no you don't have to pay for your passport. I'm sorry.
There's another little privilege. They, you know, if you go to Wikipedia or go something, they make it sound like you're advising the government and doing all these things, and you're saying that just isn't true. Wikipedia, I don't know if you can even trust it, but it's just not true.
Well, I'm advising them. That's all I do.
Okay.
But not in an official capacity.
Oh, I see. And do they call you? I mean, is there like a formal meetings or anything, or is it?
There's only been one meeting of the Privy Council that I know of, and that was a ceremonial in our centennial year.
Okay, so it's more just a name type thing. Okay, so what can people do? Because I think that's why you want to get the information out there. And I would like to give people some kind of hope or something they can do that would help at least slow down their agenda or to make people, give them more protection for themselves and their family, or help turn this around. Something that they can take away.
Well, there are things that individuals can do as far as their own personal demeanor is concerned. They can be less self-centered and more compassionate and caring about other people. And there are a lot of people. They can start organizations to raise money for the poor or to have relations between different religions, people to understand each other, because it's hard to hate anybody that you know. And if you can just get people in the same room around the same table and have break bread together, you have an entirely different point of view about them. And then at the macro level, which is primarily the level at which I operate, but I operate a little bit in both. I just sent a copy of my latest book to some members of the Congress with a letter telling them what committees I thought they should form in order to get the truth on what I call the five plagues. And what people can do is to write their congressperson and their senator and say, we want these bipartisan committees set up immediately, because Republicans and Democrats have got to work together arm in arm in order to save the country.
Absolutely. Yes.
They can't do it one doing one thing and one doing another.
We're really fighting a common enemy, and they need to wake up to that.
That is exactly the point that I make, and I try to explain what the enemy is and how it happened and what they've got to do about it. And for example, President Trump said that the armed forces had to come clean with all of the information about UFOs, but there was a word in there, and the word was unclassified. All of the unclassified information. So that could mean 10,000 pages of sightings. of UFOs. And what good is that? What does that tell people? Except,
why do you think he did that?
Well, because that's probably all he thought he could get away with.
Oh, okay.
And the reason for these committees is because if they give people the chance to speak without being subject to the National Security Act, in other words, if they give them an amnesty, then there are people just who want to tell the truth and who are there and who help build these terrible weapons and help build the space fleets and so on, and help build these other things. You ask how they intend to kill us. Well, they've got a half a dozen different ways that I know about. And so there are people who are just very anxious to do that, but they haven't got a place to do it. And then the ones that have been in it have got to be careful about not being charged under the National Security Act, and an amnesty is the only thing that Congress can do to make sure that the whistleblowers tell the truth. And you see, what it's really saying is, you don't need the unclassified stuff because it's useless to you. You have to get the classified stuff because nearly everything that's of any importance is classified.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it sounds like our Congress, our government leaders need to grow up and become adults and start running it in a way where we have a common enemy and understand that. We have so many people who are part of that enemy, though, that are in Congress and wrapped into all these different agencies. That's a big deal. So the people who aren't that need to unite against the people who are that. I mean, that's our problem.
Well, the problem is lack of cooperation and lack of common spirit. But it's when you're face to face with something terrible, you can get together. And that's the situation at the moment. And it has to happen. That's the way.
It has to happen very quickly, doesn't it? How can people get a hold of your book? I think it's important that people read it.
Well, it's available from any book dealer. It's available from my website, which is paulheatherweb.com. That's paulheatherweb.com. From my website, and you get an autographed copy. And, of course, the ever-present Amazon they finally got around to the fact that they should be selling it too, so they are.
Excellent. Well, good. Well, thank you. I need to get an autographed copy. I'll figure that out. I'll go buy one. So thank you so much for joining us. Are you going to be active anywhere, or does anybody have a way to see you going forward, or is it pretty much your writing and your books?
Well, just about everything I know is in there, and there's enough in there that people, to give people an indication as to what they should be doing and what the situation really is. And then other things we can fill in as we go along. I won't give up, but I don't think I can maintain the same pace. I don't think my wife's going to let me write another book. I mean, I've just finished my 16th, and four on subjects that include things that we've been talking about. So,
yeah, but you're doing so great. You're doing so great. It keeps your mind going. It keeps everything. You're like a man that's 20 years younger.
Thank you for the compliment. And I'll keep in there as long as I can.
Well, thank you so much, Paul, for joining us today.
Not at all. It's been a pleasure. God bless you.